So, welcome everyone. Dave and Tamana, welcome, come. And Tamana, you are free to share, do whatever you like.
It's really good to be here. It's amazing the power of the family of God. And I haven't met a lot of you before, but the beauty of it. And, you know, it's just like in the natural, your family unites and you're excited and you're emotional. And being united with another part of the family of God makes you emotional and excited. And I should clarify that where we're from, because a few people have asked, we're from Langley, which is a greater Vancouver area. It takes about 45 minutes to drive into Vancouver, and we're very close to the border. And so we're kind of excited by seeing thunder showers and lightning, because we don't usually get thunder and lightning, and it seems really exciting to us. I just felt the Spirit of God. I felt a theme in the worship this morning. And you know, where there's love, there's reproduction. You know, it's interesting, you're introducing your grandson and your son that's visiting. It's a natural outpouring of life, is that love grows. That's what grows, love grows. And we know your pastors, and we love their relational heart. We relate to that very strongly, and they love well. They love those around them well. They reach out. And I just think in this church, there is the possibility of growth exponentially, because love grows. And I know you're celebrating a church plant, and that's a natural outpouring as well. And I almost want to challenge you that in each of you, there is the favor of God to reproduce yourself. We do it in the natural, and God is calling you to do it in the spiritual. And I want you to really consider that even this year. There's someone that I will influence. Just your love for God, and your faith to say, yes, all my life you've been faithful. People need it. They want a sense of belonging. They are hurting for it. They are dying for it. And this is a place of healing, as that one fellow spoke. The love of God, it heals, it restores, it makes you belong. And I just encourage you that each one of you, it's not to happen on just Sunday. It's not just to happen with the pastoral staff, but you have actually that capacity. And I think a lot of times we just discredit ourselves. We don't think we're that important. We're like, well, my life's not perfect. Exactly. People relate to that. Like, I love it. Your life's not perfect, and you love God. And I see you in your imperfection reaching out to God, and it's such a testimony. And I just want to encourage you in that. And even with that, it's such a common verse, the Great Commission. What's the greatest commandment in Matthew? And it says, you know, to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. But the second is just as important, to love your neighbor as yourself. And this isn't a guilt trip. I feel like you have the capacity to love your neighbor as yourself. Whether it's a colleague, or it's a coworker, or it's another mom at school and in chatting, those conversations are as powerful as sermons. They are so powerful. You're just being yourself. You're just loving God. It's not even complicated. You don't have to have a bunch of stuff memorized. You just are who you are. And love compels us. Love draws people. Love grows. And so I just want to give you that word this morning. And I really want you to consider me personally. And there's going to be people that come to mind, or there's people that you're talking to, and you're going to think, this is just me loving God and loving people. This is me loving my neighbors, myself, and it's so satisfying. So I just look forward to the next time we come here and see the family growing. So all of that is a great segue for me to introduce our family in pictures. And I think we have a few slides. And we're going to, you know, love grows. It started with just Dave and I. And this is our oldest son and his wife and their kids. And he's a pastor in Vancouver at Artisan Church, way downtown. And we had to let them move, not to Australia, but they moved to Vancouver. No, I know, I sound like a baby. Then we have our daughter, and she lives right beside us. Our houses are actually joined together, and they are young adults pastors, and their kids, Reuben and three girls, lovely girls, and all their names up there. And that's in our backyard. And then we have our youngest son, and his wife Danielle. They don't have children yet, and she is from Red Deer, and they actually are full-time musicians, and they help with our worship, and they were playing at the Stampede last night, so they're in Calgary. Yeah, so you can check, well, their band is Deer Rouge, so you can't check them out. They already sang last night. So anyways, it's just good to be here, and was there one more? Oh, that's all of us. Okay. Yeah. We cut down a tree, and there was a lot of logs, and so we're sitting on the logs and on the side field, and there we all are. But you know what? Just even as it grows in the natural, it grows in the spiritual. And even as you grow in the natural, you're going to grow in the spiritual. And I just want you to remember that, and thank you for having us so graciously.
I can't believe that she said, next time we come. I guess this will determine whether we come back again or not.
So. We'll never come again.
I know. It's great to be here with you guys. I was here a couple of years ago, I think, and you have a great church. Like, this is a great church. We've been honored and privileged to meet your eldership, and you have great leaders in this church. Jordan and Andrea are going off to Northeast Edmonton. I know you're thinking about your name, Summit Life, but it's the top of the mountain, and that's where the presence of God, in Moses' day, he would climb the mountain. And so your church is going to be a presence of God church. You know, there's an old movie years ago called Field of Dreams. And this voice would always speak to, was it Kevin Costner? I can't even remember. And it would just say, build it and they will come. But I just want to say, if the Lord is there, they will come. If his presence is there, they'll come. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm not going to preach on it. I'm just going to talk to you. In my words, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I think it's verse 15, says, you have 10,000 instructors, but not many fathers. And in our culture, I thought it was interesting that Paul chose 10,000. Because I'm trying to think back in that day, like, where would they have 10,000? But today, in this day, you probably have 100,000 possibilities of teachers, online, websites, podcasts, all of those. It's one of the hard things about pastoring in a church. There's so many voices that you can hear and listen to. And some of it's really good. Some of it will get you off track. But you don't have many fathers, and I just want to say to you two guys, and I know that this is known, you guys are father and mother in this house. You're father and mother to your family, but I feel the Lord wants to take you a little bit further. Because there's so many young leaders, church planters, people that are in independent churches that have no father. They can get teaching anywhere. Shoot, if I want to preach a good sermon, I just would, you know, Google Brian Houston. What does he say on this? And no, I don't. I'm going to do it this morning, so I hope you haven't heard it. But no. But I just feel that you, and I know that you know this, and I know people here know it, but this couple are a father and mother of the faith for many. I just, your heart and your passion for leaders and for people, and We're an emotional church, our church. But I just see that in you too. Just fathering leaders in the city. I know maybe it feels kind of weird and maybe you feel new, but you are a father and mother that not many people have. And I would encourage you as a church to share them as a father and mother to others. That's the calling in your life. When you stood up, I don't really know you. I did ask your dad what you did, but I just felt really strongly that there's a calling in your life, And the word was, it's time to step up. I have no idea. You're in Melbourne. Is it a Hillsong church there? I don't know those kinds of things. And you sell coffee? So that's a good step into ministry. But I just feel for you guys as a couple. I don't even know if you're in leadership in your church. I don't know if you lead a small group. But it's time for you to begin to step up because of the call in your hearts that you love people and you care for people. And so you can take that for what it's worth. But just when you go home, don't stay where you are. Step up. Wow, this has been great this morning. And I have this picture. And a couple of years ago, but every year, my mother-in-law has a cabin at a lake that's about 50 minutes from our house. It's called Cultus Lake. And every year, I try to take 2 or 3 days and go up to the cabin by myself, just, you know, for praying, studying, all that kind of stuff. And what's so amazing is that in the morning, you know, I can walk around the lake, and in the wintertime, there's nobody there. There's nobody there. And as I was walking around the lake, I came to this point where you can see right down to the very end of the lake. And so I took this picture on my camera because I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me very clearly that it was time for me to dream again. And, you know, it's interesting, as a pastor, people kind of always expect you got this vision and you're moving forward and you're going. But there are also seasons where it feels kind of dry and it doesn't feel like, God, what are you saying to me? What is there? And I just felt the Holy Spirit. And we had gone through a season. We sang this song about the goodness of God. It's easier to sing when things are good. It's not easy to sing when you're not, you know, we had a season, I bet you, of 4 or 5 years where we questioned whether we should be in the ministry, we questioned whether we should be leading the church. People were saying kind of nasty things, and like, I'm a really lovable guy, but people just kind of, you know, they see something or hear something, and you kind of lose your vision and you lose your passion for what you're doing. And in that moment, it was just like the Holy Spirit dropped it on me. And you know, if you see the pier, you can only go so far. So I could walk out on that pier, but I can only go so far, and God has to take you the rest of the way. But it just, every time I look at that picture, I actually have it outside the door of my office now because it reminds me to keep dreaming. And I felt this morning for you as a church, I just wanted to speak into and encourage some of you that it's time to dream again. That you've had lost dreams, you've had disappointed dreams, unfulfilled dreams. You've been in a place where it's just like, God, I thought you said this was going to happen, and it hasn't happened, so where are you, God? And how could I sing, you know, in the goodness of God and all these things? You've been so faithful, and yet, God, I don't see what's happening. And to be 100% honest with you, I'm right in the middle of this right now. Tamana and I and our church, because we had dreams that have been squashed. I'll share that in a little bit. But Proverbs 29:19, in the Message, Eugene Peterson says this: if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves, or they wander aimlessly. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. To me, dreaming is a seeing word. If you can't see what God is doing, if you can't see what God is saying to you, you just wander around aimlessly. And I feel this morning that the Holy Spirit wants to begin to trigger a fresh vision and a fresh dream in your heart. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. And when I think of desires of your heart, like sometimes we think of dreaming, you got to be sound asleep and, you know, you have these weird dreams. You can actually dream with your eyes open. You can see what God is saying. You can sense what God is saying. He puts desires in your heart that will move you forward. Those desires become those dreams that God is speaking to you. And I want to encourage you this morning. Dream, it's such a simple word, but it's a powerful word. Robert Kennedy, he says this: there are those who look at things the way they are, and they ask why. I dream of things that never were and ask why not. And of course, I wasn't going to play these videos, but you know Martin Luther King, I have a dream. And he never really saw that dream fulfilled in his own lifetime, but it was a dream. The other thing about dreams is it's kind of impossible. If we can do it, it doesn't require faith. And if it's like something, well, you know, I'm dreaming of, well, we have a rental car. It's a really nice rental car, and they upgraded us. So it's a BMW SUV, and it's like, I'm sorry, but it's all electronic. And I'm a senior. And I was meeting somebody for lunch on Friday. My gift is rambling, just so you know. But I'm getting somewhere with it because I'm dreaming that, boy, I would love to have that car. Well, really, I could just go to the bank and take out a loan and we could buy the car. I made a wrong turn, and so I took another way and did a U-turn to try to get around, but I couldn't turn. It didn't have the same radius, so I had to stop and go into reverse. But something happened with this car, and it went to park, and it was locked. So I'm sitting across the entrance to a mall in this brand new BMW SUV, really looking like a senior. I couldn't get it to go forward. I couldn't get it into reverse. I tried everything. I turned it off. I was looking for the manual. People are honking at me, and I'm sitting there. And I'm not looking at anybody. And then a couple of ladies, they got out of their truck, and they said, can we help? And they couldn't figure it out. And it was just a simple thing. I figured it out, but there was a little lock button on the side of the gear shift. But you just thumb, if your thumb goes over it, you don't have to press it. It just locks. But I didn't know how to unlock it. That's just a side story. But, you know, you can dream about getting a new car, but you can go out and buy one, too. You can do that. But dreams, to me, dreams are the language of God. And I pray this morning that you would just begin to hear what God is speaking to you. You know, Matthew 1:20, Joseph was, as he considered what the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, he said, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. This is how God talks. Acts 2:17, in the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I'll pour out my spirit. This is God's language. Harriet Tubman, who was an abolitionist, she says, every great dream begins with a dreamer. Always remember you have within you the strength, the patience, and the passion to reach for the stars to change the world. So it's interesting, because some of us have abandoned dreams or forgotten dreams, discouraged to follow your dreams. And there's all sorts of reasons. Sometimes they get derailed or sidetracked. You know, a young couple that's married and they're starting and they've got these dreams as a couple and then they have children. Well, sometimes your dreams just kind of get put on the shelf because you have to kind of look after your kids, or sometimes with your dreams you're discouraged because they haven't happened yet. And I'm going to talk about that in a couple of minutes because it happened to lots of people. But you get discouraged, and sometimes when you get discouraged, it's hard to stand at the end of the pier and have a dream because you're discouraged. Or doubt, the impossibility that it will never happen. And I love the word impossible, because whenever it's impossible, I just think that the scripture says all things are possible with God. And that's what makes these dreams. Sometimes they're squashed. Have you ever had a dream and people kind of question and say that, well, that'll never happen, or you know, that's a dumb dream, or why should you do that? You get naysayers, and you got people that are kind of mocking your plan and your dreams. I've come up with some great things that I felt the Holy Spirit put in my heart, and people say, well, that's dumb. Huh. You know, I had, you better be careful what you say. When we first started the church, you know, worship was a big thing, music was a big thing, and I didn't want our music to get to a place where it was just performance, because we have great musicians, and you know, our kids were involved, and so it was like we could put on a really good show. And I felt the Lord said, you need to do 24 hours of praise. And when I first shared that with the team, they just kind of shook their heads. Like that, 24 hours. So we would start at 8 o'clock on Friday night, and we'd go to 8 o'clock on Saturday night nonstop. And what we did, eventually they saw the value of it, but in that, we would rotate teams every 2 hours. So a new team would come in, and we wouldn't stop though. They would come in, and the piano player would sit over and take over, then the guitar player, and we would just go. And that was back in the day when we had overhead projector. And so the person who was looking after that, they had slides all over the floor, and they're trying to find, because you never knew what song they were going to do. And we would do this all night long. And it was interesting. The first time we did it, you know, you might have about 15 or 20 people that would stay during the night. And we just told people, come whenever you want. Come anytime. Come for an hour. Come for 2 hours. And in that process, this is what the Lord did for our musicians. They realized that when nobody was there, that the whole entertainment thing is that we're entertaining the presence of God. And that dream that I had, just it transformed our worship ministry, because all of a sudden, it's not about how great the guitar player is. It's about how strong is our worship and our entertainment of God. And we did that for about 3 or 4 years, just to get it into the spirit of the church. But, you know, the other thing that could be bad for dreams is time. My best friend, I think it's 4 years ago, 5 years ago, January 1st, was paralyzed. On July 1st, Canada Day, 5 years ago, was in a quadding accident, and he was paralyzed from the waist down. And, you know, we have great faith as a church. We believe God can heal him. We believe God. I mean, you know, probably you know the stories when guys have been lame and crippled for 40 years and for all these times, and they... Somebody says the word and they rise up. And so we've been praying with great faith. And yet time, 5 years of being handicapped in a wheelchair from a man who was quite active, it's just like, God, is this going to happen? And so your dreams and your desires just get squashed. The other thing is finances. Finances really can squash your dreams in all of that. So I have four things just to share you with God dreams, and then I have four things to talk about that hijack your dreams. And my heart this morning is for you, again, not knowing you. I know that this church is a faith church like you. I mean, obviously you have a dream to plant Jordan and Andrea to do a church. That's, you guys, that is hard for a church. No matter how smiley Pastor Len is, it's hard. We just released one of our best couples. They were elders. They were our worship and creative arts directors. We just released them a couple of weeks ago to go serve in another church to help this other church, which we're related to. And it's not easy. And then all of a sudden, then you start getting the odd email. We feel like God is calling us to go with them. I just say, that's not God. No. But can I just say this to you as a church, that the dream of planting churches, that's an amazing dream. But here's the even the greater thing. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 where it talks about the farmer sowing the seed. And we always use that for offering. But can I just say, enjoy life, church, you have sown good seed in Northeast Edmonton. But here's what that says. If you sow generously, you will reap generously. This church is going to benefit greatly from sowing people into another part of the city. And, you know, when we sent this couple out from our church, it was like, oh my goodness. We tried to think of all the things people would say. Why are you letting them go? Why didn't you hire them? Why aren't they on staff here? How come, right? And we walked through all of that. But the significant point was is that they felt called by the Holy Spirit to go do that. And you know, it all depends on your language. When we got called by the Lord to go plant our church, we were actually accused at points of stealing people, which was really interesting. Even our own kids. You stole your kids from our church because our kids were musicians and it was all. And it was just like, when we planted our church, I felt the Lord say so clearly, we are not to ask anybody. Actually, Tamana argued with me on that one because shouldn't we ask any? I says, I feel the Lord says, we're not to ask anybody. We're just going to go. And the Lord did provide some people, but some voices said, you never should have gone, or you stole people. Or why did you leave us? It's all in the language. Come on, you guys, God is going to bless you in Summit Life Church because it's a generous sowing of good people, and you are going to see God do some amazing things through what he's doing because you're connected and tied, and you have, I just want to say right now, and I know you know this, you have a father and mother in the faith.
Yep.
Come on.
That's right.
They're there with you. They believe in you. I'm sorry, I got off what I was supposed to be doing. First thing is, God's dreams will be risky. When we left our church in White Rock, we were there for, well, I got saved there. Tamana had been there since she was 16. And when we left to go plant a church, we had no clue what we were doing. We knew how, you know, to set up chairs and have a service because we'd done that. Didn't know anything about vision, didn't know anything about. And so when we stepped out having no idea what this was going to look like. It was a risk for us. And dreams take you outside what your reality is. In my heart, for a number of years, we had a dream for what we call MFI Canada. You guys are an MFI church. Do they know that? So, Ministers Fellowship International. This is a... You're a part of a fellowship that was, it began in the U.S., and for years we attended U.S., but in our hearts was always, we want to have one in Canada where Canadians can identify, and you know, U.S. and Canada culture is so different, and we have something special, I think, in Canada, but it was a dream in somebody's heart 20 years before me. We kept speaking it, and then it was like 3 years ago, for the very first time, we had MFI Canada, a national conference, and I have a dream for this nation to see more and more churches like Enjoy Life, like our church, to begin planted and start up all across our nation, because there's something that this church, there's something that our style of churches offers that not many churches do. And I'll tell you, one of the things that's being lost in church is the 30 minutes you spent at the very beginning. If you're visiting this morning, again, I don't know who's, but if you're visiting, you know, they sang for like almost half an hour, and they kept singing the songs over and repeating this part, and you know what? There is a place in your life where you just need to take time to honor who God is and learn who he is. And right now, it's becoming more of a program where churches would do two songs and then they'll do something else and then they'll do something else. They'll do one more song to close. But here you take time in the presence of God to experience his presence, to talk with him, to hear from him. That is something that's unique in churches across our nation now. And that's what I love when I visit an MFI church, because it's just like, wow, this is just like home. Like it's an amazing thing. And I'm believing that there's going to be more churches like that across. But that's a dream. And that is absolutely, in my power, impossible. But we're believing God for it. You know, I didn't know when I was going to talk about this, but I'll talk about it now. 19 years ago, our church purchased 15 acres. Hope I can do this. And, you know, we just felt like God gave us this land. And we, you know, we had $300,000 in the bank, so we put a deposit on it, and the property was about $2 million. That's 19 years ago. And then we kept watching it, and the price went down till it was $950,000 for 15 acres. And we had $300,000 in the bank, and we just felt this was of the Lord, so we went and purchased the land, and we got it for $750,000. So we put $300 down, we took a mortgage out for the rest, and we started taking faith offerings. In our fourth month, the faith offering that we had was $452,000. Now, we were a church of less than 100 people. And so our faith offering was for, we paid off the mortgage in the first 4 months of the church, and we've owned that land, and we've believed, but in BC, I don't know what you have in Alberta, BC, we have what they call the Agricultural Land Commission that has great power, great authority, and their whole mandate is we don't want any land to be taken out of agricultural use for any purpose or any reason. We want to keep BC completely green, even though we have millions of acres that will never, ever be touched. We have this 15 acres close to the city that they, you know, so we kind of started the process, but just this last year, we really did a push. We church, we fasted and prayed, and we believed God. And we won our first victory with our city council. They were told not to approve our proposal, and yet they turned around from the management, and they approved it 8-1. And so that was a great victory. We'd been out in the, we'd been fasting and praying. Then it goes to the Agricultural Land Commission, which is a government, provincial government thing, and it, we applied, and they're supposed to get back to you in 60 days. They didn't get back. We applied in September. We never heard back. Finally, we heard back in the new year. Yeah, we're working on it, but the things saying blah, 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 and they go on and on. And then we had an on-site meeting with them that seemed to be really positive. We're moving forward. And then they said, we'll be right back to you, blah, blah, blah. And then they sent an email and said, 2 weeks, we'll let you know. And it, we didn't find out till last week that they denied our application. Do you know how hard that is? Disappointment. Like I, in my heart, and for us as a church, we'd been fasting and praying. And in that, and just talking about dreaming, because that was a dream. I don't know, God can change the direction of those dreams, but that was a dream. And the verse, when we got denied, the verse that came to me was Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And you know what the Holy Spirit said to me? And I would say this for your dreams, that move into things with faith. Believe God, because faith pleases God. We did our part. We stepped out. We fasted. We did what we felt the Lord said. We prayed. We had special prayer meetings. We prayer walked the property. We did all those things. And we did it with great faith. And yet last two Sundays ago, I had to tell the church that we were denied. But I said, God is so pleased with us because we have had great faith to believe that he is able. I still believe God is able. I just don't know how he's going to do it, but I guess that's a good place too. Second thing is God's dreams will require his involvement. Joel Stockstill says this, the need for God is slowly being replaced by reliance on science, devotion to the internet, and the pursuit of personal happiness. And so people don't need God in the things that they're doing. And yet you think of Moses where he says, your road led through the sea, your pathway through the mighty waters, a pathway that no one knew was there. Moses never would have crossed the Red Sea unless God. His dream to lead the children of Israel into the promised land was nothing unless God was involved. And yet he even got there, and you know how the people complained, and Moses, it would have been better for us to stay in Egypt. Why did you bring us to this place? And Moses is kind of like, and he, I don't know what to do, and he holds up his hands and his rods and his hands, and the waters parted. No, but come on. It requires, whatever dream is birthed in your heart or whatever dream that you had, maybe it's a dream for your family. Maybe it's a dream for your neighbors, that your desire is that your neighbors would become believers. And it's like, God, when will this ever happen? But if you continue to go before God and you continue to ask God, he will get involved in your dream and you will see that dream come to pass. Please, if you're disappointed or discouraged right now, just begin to stir faith in your heart and say, God, I cannot do this. But God, it's impossible for me, but it's possible with you. Ephesians, of course, we quote this verse, but now he who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can think or ask or dream, according to the power that's in us through the church, through Jesus Christ, forever and ever, to all generations, amen. Come on, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you can think or more than you can ask or more than you can dream. But come on, God speaks through dreams. God wants to encourage you that what's the dream on your heart? What are you believing God for? What are the desires of your heart? And do you have faith to believe that God will take you into those dreams? The third one is God's dreams will require patience. I hate patience. And you obviously the character in the Bible is Joseph and the story of Joseph. And, you know, his brothers, this is what they said in Genesis. When Joseph's brothers saw him coming, they recognized him in the distance. And as they approached, they made plans to kill him. And they said, here comes the dreamer. So, like, Joseph was a little immature in his dream of telling his brothers and then his parents that they were going to bow down and worship him. He was 17 years old. But think, at 17 years old, God birthed a dream that he had no idea what does this look like. But I'm guessing at 17 is like, whew, my brothers are going to bow. I'm the second youngest, and my brothers are going to bow down to me. And they're going to worship me. Like, at 17, that would be actually pretty cool. But, of course, it didn't work out that way. And so all through his life, there were things that actually showed him, yeah, the dream is possible. No, the dream's not possible. And when you think of this, this thought, never give up on your dream, even if your journey is full of surprises. So I'm going to give you a little exercise here. Joseph, in his life and pursuit of this dream, had twice as many bad days as good days. So, for example, the first thing is he was sold into slavery to Potiphar. Would you give up or would you go on? I would give up. And then he was living in a strange country far from home. Would you give up or would you go on? I'd probably give up. He was given favor in Potiphar's house. Hey, I can go on. Two times bad, one time good. And then he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. Well, now I'll give up because I'm going to prison. He was thrown into prison. Give up. But he was put in charge of all the prison. I can go on. He was forgotten by the cupbearer. There's no hope. I'm going to give up. He remained in prison two more years. I'll give up. He became second in command in all of Egypt. I think I'll go on. So you understand, in your journey, there will be things you're going to make you want to give up. But Joseph went, and here's the thing. Life will probably give you twice as many give-ups as go-ons. But we got to hold on to those go-ons. And I'm sorry, but I hate this verse. Is that all right to say that? In Psalm 105, verse 19, it says, until the time came to fulfill his dreams, this is talking about Joseph, and actually this word, he's chained to a wall. He's got an iron collar, and he's got fetters around his arms. And it says, this in Psalm 105, right before that. And it says, until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. Ugh. What is God teaching you? Where is God leading you in a dream? In this journey, what is God trying to do? He's testing your character. He wants to see, until the word of the Lord comes to pass in your life, he's going to test you. Mark my word, you're going to have the give up moments and you're going to have the go on moments. But Joseph was 17 when God put this dream in his heart, and he was 39 when his brothers came and worshiped him. 22 years of a dream of give up and go on. Come on, you know, we get so, man, if it doesn't happen in the first month, we're done and we'll go on to something else. I think of our property. It's been 19 years. There's things in our life. I shared yesterday with the leaders just a dream or a desire I had for some of my nieces and nephews to get saved who are far from God. One of them, I didn't pray every day, but once in a while, 30 years it took. And then two Easters ago, he texted me. He says, Uncle Dave, we have something in common. He says, I've decided to follow Jesus. Do you know that was such an emotional text for me, because I probably gave up on my nieces and nephews, because I've got four more that they just need to know Jesus. This is on my side of the family. The other side's good. But one side bad, one side good. But you guys, sometimes you have these dreams and visions and there's something in your heart and it just goes on. And what is God trying to do? He is testing your character. You know, we sang about how faithful he is, and I think in 1 Timothy, Paul writes that even when we're not faithful, he remains faithful. And I just thought, as we're singing about the goodness of Lord, I want to encourage you in those times when you're feeling like giving up, that's the time when you begin to speak by faith the goodness of God, the faith of God, who God is, the character of God, the nature of God. Do you know, it's amazing in Colossians, we've just finished doing a series in Colossians, and in the first chapter, there's this whole thing about Jesus Christ is the visible image of the invisible God, and he has been in all of creation. All of creation was created in him, through him, for him. And then in the middle of that whole thing, it says, and Jesus holds all things together. So wherever you are in your journey, whatever you're experiencing, whatever God has placed in your heart is a dream. Am I shouting? I'm sorry. I get going, you know, so... But whatever God has placed in your heart, understand this. If you remain faithful and you continue to call upon his name, and in the difficult times and in the dry seasons, these 4 years I shared about where we were just like, I thought, God, I prayed Psalm 13 every single day. How long, O God, will this go on? How long, O God, will you forget me? And then he says, return the sparkle to my eye, which just said, God, return passion to my heart. Return desire to my heart. And it goes through, and he's just like pouring out his heart to God. And then at the end, he says, yet will I praise you, and I will sing praises to you. I want to encourage you, good time, bad time, give up time, go on time, whatever place you're in, that you would just continue to say, God, I will still praise you because you are faithful. Jesus, you have all things. You hold it all together. That's who he is. In the midst of what your dream might be, whether it's seeing someone come to the Lord, whether it's a dream for your own family, whether it's a dream for this church, I think you should all be dreaming for Enjoy Life Church. I don't think you should just leave it up to your elders. I think you should have great dreams for what God can do in this church. My wife talked about family, and one thing, like I follow you guys, just so you know, I follow you on Facebook and Instagram, and it's really exciting. Like, it seems really exciting, all the stuff, and it's all family. And she kind of alluded to this, but I was thinking the same thing. What you're going to experience because of family is new birth. Many of you have dreams for people in your life that are not saved. You have desire in your life. I want to encourage you. You begin to pray for them. Have faith for them and just stand up. And maybe there's those times when you got to kick the dust off and keep moving. But maybe there's those times when you can't give up, but you got to keep going on and believing, because there will be a day. And at this church, you know, when you send out generously, God's going to sow in here generously, and you're going to see souls. Come on, I think you need to believe for way more than what you're seeing right now. We can get super content. I love it the way it is. And we would have people, when we first started, they'd come into our church and they said, well, we really like it here because it's smaller. And I would just say, well, it's not going to stay that way. Well, just think, every other person, new person you add is a new soul in the kingdom of God. This is not about your comfort and what you enjoy, but this is about kingdom stuff. This is the kingdom of God, seeing people get saved, seeing people added to the church, seeing people get inspired to God by God to dream. Yeah. Never give up. Joseph didn't give up. The fourth one is God's dreams will change lives. I think sometimes we make, well, for example, if my stupid illustration at the beginning, if I'm dreaming for a BMW SUV, it's not going to change. It's not going to impact very many people.
Yeah.
Unless I let them drive it. No. But you know what I'm saying? We can, by the way, I meant to ask you, is this all right?
Yes.
Okay. I have a little inside joke with Yulani. Anyways, your dream, if you're dreaming big, your dream will impact other people's lives. Right? Don't just dream little dreams for yourself, but dream big dreams. Dream big dreams for the church. Dream big dreams for your family. Like, will your family touch people's lives? Tamana and I are so blessed with our kids because they are all impacting, you know, and I wish to say that when we first started, she was way better than me. I probably didn't think about all that stuff. We just took it a day at a time, and how's this going to happen? And you know, today the diapers are dirty. Tomorrow was a little bit better because they're not in diapers. But we're so blessed to see these guys serving God and impacting and influencing other people's lives like we never did. But in our hearts, that was a dream. But God's dreams will change lives. This is a great prayer from Sir Francis Drake. He was an English sea captain who was the person who circumnavigated the world. He was the second guy to do that. But he prayed this, and I think this is a good prayer for us. Disturb us, Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we have dreamed too little, when we arrive safely because we sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, Lord, when with the abundance of things we possess, we have lost our thirst for the waters of life, having fallen in love with life. We have ceased to dream of eternity, and in our efforts to build a new earth, we have allowed our vision of the new heaven to dim. Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture on wider seas where storms will show your mastery. Where losing sight of land, we shall find the stars. We ask you to push back the horizons of our hopes and to push into the future in strength, courage, hope, and love. That's a great prayer. Disturb us, Lord. Come on. Somebody needs to be disturbed this morning. To dream bigger. I love that one about sailing too close to the shore. That would maybe be me. You know, if I hop out of the boat, I can still stand in the water. That would be me. But when we planted our church, it was like you get out of the boat, there's no bottom. You have no idea what's going to happen. You know, it's funny. My son was a lifeguard, and, you know, they have these water slides and stuff, and some woman came down, and she landed in the pond in the bottom, and she's flailing and calling, "Help, help, I'm drowning." And he's the lifeguard. He goes over and he says, "Stand up." I mean, the water was only like here, right? But sometimes that's how we live. You know, we're flailing and everything, but we just need to stand up. But maybe we need to be sailing where there's storms. We need to be sailing in a bigger place that God gives us a greater hope and a greater vision and a greater desire. Just so you guys know, I am preaching this to myself this morning. This morning as I was praying, I just thought, Lord, I hope it helps them, but boy, this is really good for me. Four things. I'll just finish with this because you never told me when to end. So the first thing, so I'll be done, I don't know, 12:31. So we had someone come and preach at our church one time, and when we were kind of young and we were inexperienced, and he was preaching, and you know, he's a good preacher and stuff, and he went on. He went on for about an hour. And then he looked down at me, you know, and he's this mighty man of God, and I'm just a little church planter. And he says, "Is this okay?" "Oh yeah, it's just great." He went on almost 2 hours. He preached like three messages within that time, and I could see the church was like, "Come on, Dave, just, you know, stand up and smack him." So you can stand up and smack me around if you want. I've only got two more messages to go. Anyway, I just want to finish, and this maybe seems like a negative place to finish, four things that can hijack your dreams, but I want to bring it back to reality. You know, we can talk about it being risky, and we can talk about having patience, and, you know, we can talk about God needs to be in this and all of those things, but there are things, and one of the things that will hijack your dream is the circumstances of life. Sometimes our life becomes a distraction for what God wants to do. You know how you can get so busy and doing so many things, and all of a sudden the dream gets forgotten. And sometimes I think for us in the church, our culture can pull us down. You know, it's just like, wow, you can't believe what it's like to live in Canada. You know, where all of the stuff that's going on in sexual immorality and what the government stands for. And I don't know about you in Alberta, but in BC, we've got this new resource in our public schools. It's called SOGI. Have you guys heard of that here? It's sexual orientation and gender identity. And like, it's just, and the thing of it is that there's Christians that have risen up and they've just been so judgmental and so hateful that the church has got a really bad name in all of this. But we do have a dream for our nation. We have a dream for our own cities, believing that God is going to come in and change what's there. But the circumstances around us in our culture say no. That's when the church needs to rise up. I think Scripture doesn't say this, but it should. Light shines best in the darkness. This is the church's greatest hour. We actually sang it. The church is the hope of the world. The first time I heard that, I actually disagreed with it. I said, no, Jesus is the hope of the world. Well, guess what? The church is the body of Jesus. And so we are the hope of the world. And that we as a church can shine that light in the darkness. Let's not allow the circumstances in your life. Sometimes it could be finances. Sometimes it could be there's tragedy in families. And those things, all of a sudden, those circumstances, they just diffuse any dream and anything that God is speaking to you. That you wouldn't let that hijack you. We need in our lives, we need to have something bigger than what's going on in our everyday life. Second one is disappointment through failure. And I would say that's what we've kind of experienced with our property. You know, you go through many things in life, and I've already, you know, sometimes I'll say these things, and people say, well, that's okay for you, Pastor. You know, you're a pastor, and things go great for you, and you love God, and you're reading the Bible, and you get to preach every Sunday. You know how hard it is to preach? When you're standing there, and you're feeling the Lord says you need to dream again, it's hard. Some people think the pastor's got it easy. Well, you guys have it easy, but... You guys have great pastors. We love these guys. Disappointment through failure. Why is it that disappointments of life steal the raw pleasure of outrageous and hopeful expectations in our souls? Winston Churchill says, success is stumbling from failure to failure with no loss of enthusiasm. Come on. C.S. Lewis says, failures, repeated failures, are finger posts on the road to achievement. One fails forward toward success. We fail, we see something that doesn't happen, and we think, God, where are you? We give up. I've done that, I know that. I think I'm just here to tell you, don't give up. Believe God for bigger things. Dream for bigger things for your church, for your family, for your community, for your workplace. Start, you know, if you delight yourself in the Lord, if you love Jesus, and you worship Jesus, and you're giving your life to Jesus, He will give you the desires of your heart. That's what the Scripture says. Here's another one, unfulfilled dreams. You know, one of the hardest things for me to communicate to our church is unanswered prayers. You know, you're praying for things and you don't see it happen. 5 years ago, my nephew, who was 32, was diagnosed with leukemia, and he was given 6 months to live. Nephew-in-law. And you know what it's like as a church? He came out to prayer meetings. He had his mask on, and we would pray for him and prophetic words, and he died. That's hard. We had people leave our church because they felt like, well, prophecy wasn't answered, and they didn't say it this way, but I think they meant that we need to stone the prophets, right? Well, and we did talk about it, but here's the thing. We never see often how God is really working. My nephew, I would drive him to the hospital for his chemo treatments, and he started sharing some of those secrets in his life where he had thought about committing suicide. He told God, I don't care about you, I just want to die. Like, those were our conversations. Well, in the 6 months that he was in the hospital and getting treatments, he went from being spiritually dead to being so alive and strong in his spirit when he died. And people prophesied, this is not a sickness unto death. Well, I couldn't tell them his story, not then, but his sickness was a sickness from death to life, and then eternal life. Like, you know, and you can say, well, you know, God works all things together. Nobody wants to hear that when you're in the middle of something. But it's amazing the story in his life that we witnessed, because he was dead spiritually and he came to life. And so even though it seemed like they were unfulfilled dreams and disappointing prayers, unanswered prayers, God really did in his own way. You think of Joseph. When Joseph initially thought about, hey, my family's going to worship and bow down, do you think he ever thought that he would be in Egypt, he would be second to Pharaoh, that he would be in a heathen land and they were going to worship him? I'm thinking he's probably thinking, hey, you know, after a while, you know, when I get a little bit older, my brothers are going to think, wow, Joseph's an amazing guy. We just think, wow, he loves God. I don't think he ever thought that it was going to end up in Egypt. And sometimes we try to plan our dreams, but let's let God plan your dreams. And then my last one is for hijacking is a wrong view of God. Sometimes our view of God is too small, and we maybe in discouragement think God is unfaithful or God doesn't care or he's not interested. I'm just here to tell you, we serve a powerful God. And I'm going to finish with this passage in Jeremiah 32. It says, O sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and earth by your strong hand and powerful arm. Nothing is too hard for you. You show unfailing love to thousands, but you also bring the consequences of one generation's sin upon the next. You are the great and powerful God, the Lord of heaven's army. You have all wisdom and do great and mighty miracles. Come on, you guys. Whatever God is stirring in your heart, whatever dreams have been squashed, I believe the Holy Spirit this morning wants to awaken them and stir them. And maybe this morning he's birthing new dreams in your heart. And if you have the right view of who God is, nothing is too hard for our God. Nothing. Everybody say nothing. I don't normally do that, but that's important. Nothing. Nothing is too difficult for our God. He is the sovereign Lord. He's all-powerful. He's almighty. He can do all things. What's impossible for you is possible for God. And as you begin to dream again, as you begin to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you about plans and dreams and desires, that you begin to dream again. Don't be discouraged. Move forward. Believe in God. Have faith in God, because he is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you could think or ask. Let me pray for you this morning. Father God, this is a great church. Your hand of blessing is upon this church. And God, first I pray over this church, more babies. Babies in the spirit, babies in the natural, that God, they would just begin to see the family grow. God, your hand and your grace is upon this church for growth and for influence. God, I just pray that you would begin to increase their sphere of influence in this city. God, that this couple that are leading this church, you raise them up as fathers in the city, father and mother of faith in the city. And God, I pray right now, God, I just ask your spirit. Is there anybody here this morning who's just really saying, God, I just need to dream again? Just, I want you to slip up your hand. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to call you up, but come on, God is stirring your heart. There's people putting their hands up. And I just pray, God, by your Holy Spirit, because this is nothing we can do on our own, but just release and stir new dreams in our hearts. I pray for Enjoy Life Church, God, that you would begin to birth new dreams of what's possible and what is impossible and how you can lead them. Oh, Lord God, we just pray that you work by your Holy Spirit, Almighty God. God, I pray for people here this morning that are believing and have desire for friends, co-workers, and neighbors to get saved. God, just renew that dream. Stir that dream in their heart. God, just begin to open ways, ways where there was no way. Just open it up, oh God. Oh, Father God, I pray your blessing over this house. I pray, God, just to awaken new dreams. And God, I pray against the spirit of discouragement in this house, that people would continue to move forward. God, I pray against discouragement. I pray against failure, that God, we can stand up and we can keep going. Move by your Spirit, oh God. Move by your Holy Spirit, oh God. Stir our hearts again, God. Awaken our hearts, God. Bless this house. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen.